Welcome, everybody, to Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we will take an in-depth and closer look at this beloved television series, the spin-offs, the merchandising, and the global fandom phenomenon that has shaped the landscape of science fiction for over five decades and counting. So step into our Type 40 TARDIS and please enjoy our journey together here on Type 40, a Doctor Who fandom podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Now, I can never fly the TARDIS alone, and you know, so I have to have my friends, my companions. Sometimes it's even a little bit of trouble, whether it's a Dalek or a Cyberman, whatever we come across this week. But here with me, all as always, is of course my co-host on this journey with the Type 41, Mr. Dan Hadley. How are you doing, Dan?
Hello, Kyle. I'm okay. It's been quite a week. I haven't been feeling too well myself, but fortunately, I didn't step on any mines and I didn't need to be taken to hospital. I'm fighting fit. And the Type 40, it's cobweb free after last week. So whatever we've done, we've done it right.
Yeah, you did a great job cleaning up. I knew if the jammy Dodgers I sent you would get you feeling all well and better. I had the fish custard ready on standby. But you know what, Dan? We've got a very, very special guest that you helped get here on the Type 40 with us. And I would like to give you a chance to introduce our special guest who will be joining us as we talk the latest episode of Doctor Who, Dan.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is pretty big news because our guest voice this week, it's a young woman who's, she probably won't mind me saying this, she's grown up in what they might call the new Doctor Who age. But she's got this big appetite for a history stretching right the way back through the classic show. And she's already got a really colourful social media presence. And she's off on all sorts of adventures. She goes on location hunts and she goes and meets all the stars. I mean, she's met them all, Kyle. And today she gets to meet us.
downgrading.
Yeah. And she's also got quite a merchandise collector, and we're going to find out a little bit about that, no doubt, as we get talking. This is Lily Connors. Say hello, Lily.
Hi.
It's really good of you to join us this afternoon. We're gonna chill out, and we're gonna talk about Doctor Who. It's okay. That simple.
Thank you for having me.
That's quite all right. I mean, because I don't know about you, I talk about Doctor Who all the time to anybody who'll listen. So the way we think about it is there's all these people out there who love it as much as we do. So yeah, if we can share that with each other and with them. Everybody comes and chills out in our Facebook group, don't they, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. And before we learn more about Miss Lily, let me do a quick explanation of where you can find not only this show, but all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, that starts with our master feed at Fandom Podcast Network, which is at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use your mobile app and download the Podbean app and search Fandom Podcast Network. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and we've recently been added to Spotify. So just search the Fandom Podcast Network on any of those podcast catchers and you will find us. Of course, we have our Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and at Type 40 Doctor Who. Our Facebook page, Type 40 Doctor Who Fandom. There'll be links to that in the episode notes here. If you'd like to contact us directly, you can also email us at type40doctorwho@gmail.com. That is TYPE40DRWHO. The Twitter is the same, at Type 40 Doctor Who, as well as the Instagram, at Type 40 Doctor Who. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. And Dan, I know there's a lot of places people can find you on social media.
Yeah, well, depends what you call a lot. Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Dan Hadley. Can't even say my own name properly. Dan Hadley double underscore. So that's where you can find me there. I'm on Facebook, as I said, in that Type 40 Facebook group, which is growing by the week. We're getting lots of interaction there. Lots of interesting discussions this week off the back of recent shows. And for all other geeky talk on movies and TV, head over to the Spacebook Facebook group too. And it all goes on there. I'm in there far too often. I spend far too much time on social media. How about you, Lily? Do you want to tell everybody about your page?
I'm on
about your Facebook page.
I'm on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. But the easiest way to find me is if you go into Google and you type in Lily Connors Doctor Who, you'll find all my social medias and where to contact me.
Wow. Hey, she's got us beat, Dan.
Yeah, she's, you're a professional. How long have you been doing all this for now, Lily? How long have you had your Facebook page for?
About a year and a half.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Well, that's, because we've all heard of you and we've certainly seen your adventures. But what I was wondering is, how on earth did you get so into Doctor Who so quickly?
Well,
how did it start?
When I was about 3 and a half, my dad gave me 3 DePaul figures, the Tom Baker, the Cyberman and a Dalek. They were my first figures, and every Christmas, Easter, birthday, all I'd ever ask for is just Doctor Who. And I guess that's just how it grew. The more older I got, the more I loved it and wanted to collect more.
So it really started with the collecting, was a really big part of that. Was that before Doctor Who actually came back then?
No, I started getting into it when I was watching Christopher Eccleston when it was on TV.
Mm-hmm. Carry on.
And I used to watch the Sarah Jane Adventures and the spin-off Class as well. So I used to enjoy watching them.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Class, and I'm a little bummed because there's some news that came out this week about Class, where if they would have had a second season of Class, they're planning to go to the planet of the Weeping Angels. And I was like, what? No, we need to bring back Class.
Yeah, I'd have loved that. Sarah Jane was my favorite. Absolutely. Sometimes I preferred that to Doctor Who. But yeah, it's good stuff. But those Dapol figures... I mean, we're going back some time there. They were sort of, they weren't as accurate as the figures we get now, were they? But they had a charm of all of their own. So
yeah.
So I love that those, you started with 3.
Yeah, they were my dad's from when he was a kid, and then he gave them to me.
I see. I think I might have a little bit in common with your dad there as well. So it runs in the family then. Doctor Who runs in the family.
Yeah, a couple of the family members really love Doctor Who. We all go down my nan's and my gramps to watch it.
Oh, wow. Really? As a big ritual. And is there any special food that you eat as well? Do you go for the fish fingers and custard?
I love fish fingers and custard. It's so delicious.
Really?
Yes, yeah. It's a really good taste. Have you tried it?
Doesn't it get stuck in your teeth?
No.
Yeah. Go.
No. I'm looking for those of you, unfortunately, because we're an audio podcast, but we do video chat when we record. I'm looking at the wall behind Lily here, and just in amazement of all the autographs and pictures they have on the wall.
Yes.
A Doctor Who museum in this room.
Yeah, these are some of the first people that I met when I first started going to conventions and filming sites and stuff.
So, okay, I have to ask because I've met a few of the cast members of Doctor Who. I've met Jenna Coleman. I've met our own Amy Pond, Karen Gillan. I've met Billy Piper. Who are some of your favorite people that you've met in person that are Doctor Who related?
I've met a lot of people over the years, but they've all been really nice, as in everyone I've met has just been fantastic. I can't pick one because they're all amazing. But if I had to, Ian McNeice, who plays Winston Churchill,
He supported
me all the way through my Guinness World Record, all the way from the beginning. And he also sent me a couple of his items through the post. And he also brought me back an item, which is a bath bag, all the way from America, that you couldn't get over in the UK.
Oh, that's awesome. No, so, okay, you brought it up and we haven't talked about it yet. Tell us about your world record.
So I'm the Guinness World Record holder for the most Doctor Who memorabilia of 6,641 individual items. I broke the record about, how many years ago now? About 2 or 3 years ago. I broke it in 2016.
I'm impressed. That's a lot of storage space right there.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna add to that because after the show, Dan, if you would get an address for Lily, we will send her an official Type 40 T-shirt.
Really?
There you go.
Like the one I am wearing right now.
Oh, that's so cool! Oh, thank you.
I'll tell you what, we'll do as well.
Get her size and her address, and we will make sure she gets one of those.
Brilliant idea. And also, so it'll be worth even more money in the future, we're not going to sign it.
Yeah, that's the plus. We don't love
it. I don't know. Well, I mean, how can you follow? How can you follow that? I mean, that's a lifelong love of Doctor Who stretching right the way. You have met people all the way through all the classic runs and most of the Doctors, haven't you, Lily?
Yes, I've met loads of the Doctors, most of their companions, and even extras or people who played acted as monsters.
That's incredible. And I understand you were even there at the premiere in Sheffield earlier in the year?
Yes, I was at the premiere. My gramps managed to win 2 tickets. So me, my gramps, and my mum all went up to Sheffield to the premiere. And I took my book with me. And the person that plays Mandip, who plays Yaz, and Torsten Cole, who plays Ryan, they both signed my book.
That's awesome. Now, I have to ask, though, I still hear there's some strange happenings going on in Sheffield these days. Are you keeping an eye on that situation for us?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, our co-host, Sarah, or one of our co-hosts, she lives in Sheffield, but we haven't heard from her from since the business with the spiders, actually, Kyle. I think we ought to look into that, I think.
Yeah, that's a little disconcerting. We're gonna have to look into this. So, but you know what? While we've got Lily here, before we start talking about this week's episode of Doctor Who, I have a couple of questions for you, Lily, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
Who is your favorite Doctor?
Oh, I don't exactly have a favorite because every Doctor brings something different to the show, whether it's like Matt Smith with the fish fingers and custard or Tom Baker and his long scar. I couldn't pick. I've met some of them and they're really nice. But I am born on the same day as William Hartnell, the first Doctor, the 8th of January.
Oh, wow.
And my parents have always told me that I was born to be a Whovian.
Yeah, I'm feeling some Time Lord things at work here, Dan.
Yeah. Timey, a bit of timey and a dash of whimey, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
In the stars.
So, okay. We know that. What have you thought so far of our newest Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, and her so far, what we've gotten from this current season of Doctor Who?
I love it. Everyone has been talking about Jodie, and I'm happy that Doctor Who's come back on. It doesn't matter who portrays the Doctor, whether it's a man or a woman. The Doctor will always be the witty, funny, intelligent one that saves the world. But I'm just really chuffed that it's back on.
Yeah, it was a long break between seasons. I know we were here in the States, as we like to say, we're jonesing for the next season. We were ready. It was like, when is it coming? When is it coming? When is it coming? Because it felt like it was forever. And then all of a sudden it was here really fast.
Yeah, it did feel like it was forever to come back around.
So now we're going to talk about this week's episode, and I promise you by the end of this episode we will have about 15 different pronunciations for the episode this week. Dan, I'm gonna let you take a crack at it.
Right, here we go. I've been practicing this all week because of course it's the series 11 hit the halfway mark this year this week with the Suranga conundrum. There we go. I almost got it first time. Yeah, because when we last saw Team TARDIS, they were slamming down that lever to dematerialise and go off on new adventures at the end of the previous Arachnids in the UK. But when we pick things up a little while later, they're on an intergalactic rubbish dump. But they're very quickly knocked out by that sonic mine, aren't they, and whisked off away on this hospital ship. And the quality of the food seems the least of their worries. There's something else going on altogether. We've had 5 episodes in succession now where the showrunner has had the writing credit. So Chris Chibnall, he's got a very, perhaps not as distinct a voice as showrunners before. I think it's safe to say we sort of know who everybody is, at least in the Team TARDIS. And we can see them sort of bonding together more week by week. How did you enjoy this adventure, Lily?
Well, The episode started really good. I love the graphics of the spaceship from the outside, and the inside design was amazing. And I love the new monster, the Pating. He was really cool and funny. But I lost a bit of interest about halfway through the episode. It just got a bit, I don't know, how a bit politically correct. Like, it was funny with the man who was, like, pregnant, but they always kept on going back to the gender, and that kind of lost my interest a little bit. But the acting was really good, and I loved it otherwise.
There was quite a lot going on, wasn't there, to say that it was just one episode of Doctor Who? You got a lot of running around. You'd got our pregnant friend. I can't remember his name. And I thought he was quite good. You got him too. You'd got the brother and the sister and the little monster. So there was a lot to take in and a lot to wrap up as well. And yeah, I felt that it did somehow. It lost its momentum. Whatever was pushing it forward. So I do agree with a lot of what you said there. Kyle, you know, we've spoken about this before, and I keep on about how any series of Doctor Who is more than the sum of its parts. How was this for you? Was this a welcome contrast to what we'd had up to now?
You know, you talked about it with Chris Chibnall having written every episode we've had so far. And, you know, one of the things I kind of feel like where we come from Moffat to Chibnall is that I think where Moffat was very much on the always had the dial up turned about to a 11 as far as the energy in an episode of Doctor Who, Chibnall feels like he's kind of gone the opposite direction, and it's more of a low-key approach through the episode. There's moments, but it's he's constantly adjusting the energy volume in this episode. And there's a lot of things I liked about this episode, because in a way it felt like it was almost like had a little bit of a classic Who feeling to it, being on that ship and kind of how that ship was designed and being confined in that space. But there was, I'm kind of with Lily. I thought the episode started off really well, especially with the whole thing with them being on that junk planet and finding the sonic mine and how everything developed from that. And then getting faced with their initial danger with this new alien creature, who I'm going to refer to as Stitch for the rest of the episode. Because a lot of people in the States were making that comparison and putting up pictures of Stitch compared to this little alien, and it's the Pating, and it was they are very similar looking when you look at it. Yeah. But I also think that the effects were very good on this episode. The Pating looked really well done. I liked the character dynamic in this episode. Again, a great performance, especially from with Graham and Ryan. I love the dynamic between those two. I still feel like we haven't really gotten everything we could out of Yaz. That's why I'm looking forward to the upcoming episode. I think we're really going to get a lot more of her finally. I think this was one of Jodie's better episodes as the Doctor, in the aspect of having to sort out a lot of different problems and how she approached it. Because I think what I'm kind of feeling from Jodie a little bit, and I some people have told me that they're not seeing it, I get a little bit of Christopher Eccleston's Doctor from her. More in the aspect of, it's almost like a controlled chaos in how she handles things. There's chaos going around her, but herself, she seems to be like very controlled. And one of the things too is, and I've noticed this, and I actually went back and watched it. I want to ask Lily about this. With Jodie's Doctor, she's made a comment now every week about still finding herself. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I noticed that.
Okay, so it wasn't just me. And I think that's been kind of a key underlying thing for this season. And it might be a story thread that the writing crew is putting in there about, because usually we're so used to the Doctor, we have that episode, and then by the end of the episode, the Doctor's kind of figured out who he is and what he is going forward. And it's been a little different with Jodie. And one of the things I brought up, and I'm curious on both Dan, your take, and Lily, your take on this, was almost the panic that the Doctor had in this episode being separated from the TARDIS. Because I've never really seen the Doctor have that much panic being separated from the TARDIS. Like, there's something wrong there that we don't know about. Did you get that impression, Lily?
Yeah, I noticed that she was panicking a bit, but it was really good. Because if you lost your spaceship, you would kind of panic if you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it just put, I mean, I've seen the Doctor leave the TARDIS other places and not worry about it. Dan, did you pick up on this?
I did, yeah, and I did wonder about it because they said that they'd been on several, there'd been several adventures in between the last one and this one. You think, well, you know, I mean, we know the Doctor lives a pretty fast life. We think, God, how many adventures have they packed into a really short period of time? But the other thing that I noticed, and again, and I wondered if it was my memory playing tricks on me, she also, when they mentioned the Suranga Corporation, when they mentioned that, you had that thing again where the Doctor said, I know that name from somewhere. Where have I heard that before? And we never went back to that later in the episode. And earlier on in the series, there'd also been a thing where she wasn't sure where she'd heard of the Stenza before. And I'm sure there was one other element. So maybe there is something that's going to piece some of these elements together as it's going along. Or maybe it was just a line of scripts that just got left. I don't know. But I do like it when they bring all these things together. And in a shorter series, because there's 10... We've got six, I suppose, if you count the Christmas special. We don't know what's going on there yet. So I'd like to think it's going somewhere. And if it is, then it's not too complicated for people who've missed the odd one, where they're going to have missed something integral to the story. Did either of you hear that as well? Did you hear that, Lily?
Did you pick up on that? Like they mentioned that the Doctor was familiar with that name but didn't really follow up on it?
I think maybe there could be a connection further on, but I realized that they didn't come back to it as well.
Yeah, you know, I think we got a little bit of a, I know at the beginning of this, Chris Chibnall had said, oh no, there's not going to be an interconnecting theme through this season of Doctor Who. It's a lot of standalone episodes. I think we might not get a resolution to some of these threads this season per se, but I think he's definitely setting up groundwork for his continuing story as far as what's been happening in Doctor Who. And do you think that, Dan?
Yeah, I think backing up what you both have said, really, Lily mentioned it first, how this was a really good showcase for Jodie's Doctor. She was front and center for the majority of it. And it's sort of pushing it along because, of course, it was very confined. It had that sort of alien feel to it. But I also noticed, though, as a result, because we've got those three companions, we've talked about that quite a lot in the past, there wasn't really that much for them to do. I mean, I think it was a good 10 minutes in. And so I like all three of these companions. I genuinely do. But it had to be about 10 minutes in before Yaz said a word. In fact, I was watching it with my son, and I turned to him and I said, who said that? You know, I almost forgot she was even there, which I thought was a great shame. And with Tosin Cole as Ryan, who I thought in the first 2 weeks in particular was so vibrant and so energetic, he did a lot of standing around and looking not particularly interested in what was going on, which I think is a bit of a shame. There is only so much there's only so much screen time to go around, and there's only so much of the spotlight that anybody can have. So it's the Doctor's episode.
Well, I wouldn't say it was entirely the Doctor's episode because we got introduced to a new species, and that is the Peeting. Cute little guy. Don't want to leave him running around in your spaceship, obviously. That's going to cause some problems. What were your initial impressions of the Peeting there, Lily?
The Peeting kind of reminded me of an adipode.
I hadn't thought about that. Kind of had that cute feeling, but it was like, okay, this thing still could be a little dangerous. You don't know for sure.
No, I really love the character, the alien. It was really funny because you just run around eating everything and you cause chaos for everyone. But I love the monster. His graphics are really good and it was really funny.
Okay. The question is, would you buy a stuffed Peeting?
Yes.
Ting.
I was. Okay.
for all you parents out there, that's the Christmas present of the year, a stuffed pating. So there you go. Get on that, you guys, over at the Doctor Who merchandising. Dan, the adipose is actually, that's the first time I've thought of that. So a bonus points to Lily for that. But I agree. Now that I think about it, yeah, that, it did have a little bit of that feeling. I think a little bit more of a threat than the adipose ever were. Yeah. I like how the fact that the doctor also used the pating not only as the problem, but ended up being a solution for them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the story, it was quite clever how it all wrapped up, wasn't it, Lily?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. For me, I hadn't thought of the adipose either. Now I feel really stupid. Because what I was thinking of was the Slovene. To me, it seemed like a mini Slovene with the big eyes and the sort of claws. So that was on my mind the whole time. And as it was sort of hissing and sort of thrashing around in particular. But the other thing it reminded me of, and I don't know if you've seen this... Lily, I think Kyle probably has. It was the program Futurama.
Yes.
The cartoon. It's by the guy who makes The Simpsons and...
Dan Gronig.
Yeah. Matt Groening.
I think I know where you're going, Dan. I know where you're going.
The other character's name was Nibbler. Do you remember?
Exactly. Yes. He was Leela's pet, the little black alien that she had with him.
That's it. And didn't he have an eye on top of his head or something like that?
Some sort of antenna or something like that. Yeah. But he ate everything inside as well, if I remember correctly.
That's what it reminds me, because his mouth opened up the same. And there was a scene in Doctor Who where I think the pating was looking at something or another, and it slammed it straight down its throat. And you saw the look on the doctor's and Yaz's face, I think it was, that look of shock. And it was, you know, I don't mind it when Doctor Who can be a bit like a cartoon like that. I think it should be like that sometimes. It's the kind of thing, but then again, I like cartoons.
Oh, hey, nothing wrong with some good cartoons now. Now, okay, I'm curious about this too. Do you think we'll see the pating again? What do you think, Lily?
I don't think we'll be seeing the pating again, because there might be a new monster every episode, but maybe in the future it might pop up somewhere, because it is in the space.
I think it would be fun if they ever wanted to kind of really go inside the TARDIS, and that when we haven't had that in a good while, since maybe the Tenet run. Or I guess there was maybe an episode with Matt Smith where they really went into, but I would love to see the chaos of a pating getting in the TARDIS.
That'd be really chaotic.
That could be a very fun episode.
They'd never find it, would they?
It would be a lifetime supply of food, that'd be for sure.
Yeah.
What I was thinking of is, this is the first, because Chris Chibnall has said, hasn't he, that there'd be no old monsters in this series. And a lot of fans have been disappointed by that decision, both older fans like us and younger ones like you, Lily. Are you disappointed there's going to be no Daleks or Cybermen and things like that? How do you feel about that?
It would be a little gutting, but there will be new monsters and there'll be new, like, weird ways to trap them or to get rid of them. But if there's a new monster, I'd love to see it.
And here's the thing. I think it's more of, he meant not for this season of Doctor Who, which we know now is only going to be 10 or 11 episodes, depending on what's going on with the holiday special. I think we're still going to see some familiar monsters and villains' faces, depending on how long the current Doctor run goes and how long Chris Chibnall is the showrunner of the show, when we know they're both coming back for a second season of their run. So I think I would not be surprised to see a Cyberman or a Dalek turn up in the next season of Doctor Who.
I'd like to think so. I think every Doctor should have a chance to give them a good hiding before too long.
So the other point I had about this episode was this episode had a very minimalistic look. The ship was very like clean. It was very much a medical ship. It was very clean. It was very basic, and you kind of just. You had that set with different various lighting, and that it was probably one of the more simple Doctor Who sets we've seen in a very long time. Do you think it fit well for the episode as far as how they were with the type of ship they were on and the environment around them? What did you think, Lily?
I really liked the design of the ship. It reminded me a little bit of like Star Trek. But I really liked it because it was bright and a bit colourful with the blue. But I really liked it.
Yeah. What about you, Dan?
This is very much my taste. I do like, and in some ways, particularly the chamber where they've got the mini CERN device, that looked almost more like the TARDIS than the TARDIS does. That's what I thought. But I do like that sort of that bright white and the way it hums and the clean, because that is, I mean, if you go into the average GP, certainly in the UK, that's what they tend to look like, isn't it? They're bright white or very, very light green. And very little around, cluttering up corridors. So it did feel like something feasible. And there was a certain amount of the way they described the layout of the ship, of having the sort of the modules all around the outside, like bays, like you get on a hospital ward. It was a good way of relating that to the viewer, because, you know, we've all had to either go to hospital or some of us have had to stay in hospital. So it was easy to relate to it all. But I do, I mean, it wasn't as claustrophobic as it could have been. And I think that's why I lost interest too, Lily, because they didn't, it sort of stayed in the one place and they just kept on running around it rather than sort of turn up that pressure and that tension to the point where you were sort of hanging on for dear life. That's what I missed. But I do, I love all that. I love anything that reminds me of Star Trek. I hadn't thought of that, but it's particularly the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies lately, it was very much like one of those. And it did remind me of the ships from Alien, Kyle, with their sort of framework design and their modules and things and various pods that can be jettisoned. So I like all that. It feels like space travel that could be reachable and realistic.
Yeah. You know, one of the things too with this episode was I really liked the mix of people that they brought in. I really felt like Ryan got, nobody got a ton of FaceTime because I think it was meant to be a little bit of a doctor-centric episode, but I kind of liked the aspect of we got into kind of a little bit of Ryan's father issues in this episode, and a little bit more of his interesting relationship with Graham. I also liked I really loved the pilot, I can't remember what her rank was off the top of my head, and her brother, and I really liked that kind of storyline because it was, I would like to know more about this time frame and the what's going on in this. And even I liked how they had the fact that the doctor says, I need to spend more time in this time to get an understanding what's going on with the whole, how they piloted the ship. I thought that was a really cool science fiction thing that they had done there. I loved even the brief little educational moment we had with the antimatter in this episode, when the doctor's explaining how the antimatter drive worked on this ship. I thought that was a fun little moment. What did you think of some of those things, Lily?
I thought they were really cool because you kind of understood it a bit more.
Yeah, it was kind of a neat little teaching moment. And I know that especially back in the early Classic Who, that was something that they did a lot in Doctor Who, was, you know, kind of put in these little underlying teaching moments in episodes of Doctor Who. So now, Dan, I'm curious with you, because you talked about it earlier, like you felt like certain people didn't get a lot of space time. And FaceTime, and I especially felt that with Yaz. I felt Yaz was just kind of the sidekick along for the ride in this particular episode. But like I said, I thought there were some nice moments with Ryan and Graham, especially dealing with Ryan's father issues and the whole pregnancy issue there and how that kind of came around. And aspects of it might have felt a little heavy-handed, like Lily talked about, like there was some political correctness in there or something that they were just kind of hammering home a little too much. But I did like the fact we got a little bit more of that development of that relationship, because I got to be honest with you guys, that's been one of my favorite things of Who this season, is the relationship between Ryan and Graham.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's worth it when you can do something interesting that'll develop a character like that. And I think one of the reasons why I was so disappointed that he got so little to do in the first half is because I like him so much and I can relate to him. And in that situation, when you think about, as you say, his relationship with his dad, you know, we've all had feelings of doubt like that, and at really important moments in anybody's life. I mean, it didn't really matter that it was a man sat there, you know, in all serious, as funny as it was, and it was played for laughs. You know, that guy playing him, I can't remember his name. Apologies if you're listening to this, but he had great comic timing, and because he played it, with so much truth, you couldn't help but believe it and be won over by it. So yeah, that did leave me with a smile on my face. And Bradley Walsh, he always gets the best lines, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he has definitely been, for me, I think, the highlight of this season so far. And let's talk about that now, because we have officially had 5 episodes now of the current season of Doctor Who. We're technically, I guess, at the halfway point of the actual season, because we know this season there was going to be 10 episodes plus whatever they're doing for the holiday special. But we're at this halfway point now, and I'm very curious to see, because I think, for me personally, this has been one of the most hyped ever seasons of Doctor Who, coming in with the big change to Jodie. I think even more so in ways than when Matt Smith took over. See, I really felt like when Chris Eccleston left and they went to David Tennant, it was a big deal for you over in the UK, but it wasn't really a huge thing in the States. And then when Matt Smith took over for David Tennant, it felt like it was a bigger deal here, because Doctor Who had really caught on. And I remember when especially that first season, you had the Murray Gold concert series that was going around. You had the, especially on the DVD set or on the season set, you had that special where Matt Smith and Karen Gillan hosted that concert. But this season has been mainstream media everywhere here in the US. I know it's been big over in the UK. So I think this came in with the highest known quantity of Doctor Who coming into a season we've had a long time. And we look at social media and we look at everything else, and I think it's safe to say a lot of people are kind of all over the place with the season. And I think it's understandable why they would feel that way. It's a lot of change, a lot of things they're not sure about. But I'm curious, I want to start with you on this, Lily, because you're coming at it from somebody who you have somebody at such a young age who has such appreciation for everything Doctor Who. And I think that's an amazing thing. How have you felt about this season? Because it has really been one of the biggest changes in Doctor Who in a very long time.
It has been one of the biggest changes, but I'm just really happy it's come back on, because it was off for a long time. But I've seen that a lot of people don't know where to be on it, but I love it.
Yeah. What are some of the things that have stood out for you with this particular season so far? What have been the things that, you know, that have really pulled you into this season? And besides the fact that it's Doctor Who.
Yeah. I loved the very first episode, The Woman Who Fell to Earth. That was one of my favorites. And I love all the like monsters that's come up so far.
Yeah. And how are you, and I know you kind of said that at the beginning, you think Jodie has been a good doctor, or do you still feel like she's still kind of growing into becoming the doctor? It seems like they've been letting her, the best way to describe it for me is, I know you, the word I've been using is cook as the doctor, because they always talk about the doctor cooking after regeneration. Does it feel like she's become the doctor, or she's the doctor, but she's still not fully solidified as the doc, as this version of the doctor?
Well, at the moment, she seems like she's like a bit like Peter Capaldi, but hopefully soon she'll become her own doctor and have her own wittiness and stuff.
Yeah. Now, Dan, I know you've been mixed emotions all over the place with this new season of the Doctor, and I know for you that a lot of aspects of the season, you're not negative on it, but it's been, you've had some struggling, and it's because, it's because you've grown up with Doctor Who from the beginning, where, you know, Lily got the advantage of going back and looking at the history after it had already been established. You grew up with it as it was going on. And that does give you, when you get to something like that, it gives you different perspectives. And I think that's what's great about having somebody like Lily on, and then having somebody like you on who grew up with Doctor Who, because you do get those great perspectives, and there's not a wrong perspective to be had. So Dan, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, what I'm seeing from you there is you can see some elements there, but you don't feel like they're fully tapping into the full Doctor Who potential yet.
No, not at all. And, you know, in all seriousness, I mean, it's very kind of you to say that I haven't been negative, but I have been quite negative. You know, I have, and I'll take that. And, you know, there's been, I mean, it's strange, because the episode that sort of, the episodes that have sort of got the most anger from people are the ones I've enjoyed the most. But it's still disappointing. It's still not quite coming together. And I was looking for this one in particular. You know, once we'd had that big statement of the companions deciding, making that decision to join the Doctor full time, that this week we'd have something that was really whole, really exciting, and just really, really Doctor Who from beginning to end. And as much as I appreciated all those nice things we've been talking about today, all the things that they did get right, and I did love the Pating, I love that kind of thing, it's my sense of humour. As much as I did like all that, you know, I did lose interest, and it did feel like they were sort of somehow padding it out, and yet there was so much going on, and there were so many great actors. I mean, Susan Packer, who played the general, this is a fantastic actress, and yet why didn't her character sort of leap out of the screen? Why and when she was saving them all, making that big sacrifice at the end, why wasn't I as moved as the script wanted me to be? And there's a couple of the android character in it, you know, very superfluous. And we've had lots of characters like that running all the way through that just don't feel like they've come to life. And I just think it's a bit of a shame. And in a series that is only 10 episodes long, that they're kind of dropping the ball a little. And, you know, Jodie Whittaker, as much as I've got problems with what's going on with that character, you know, I can't knock somebody for trying. She's giving her all to this, 150% every single episode. And I just hope that they sort of pull this round and start to give us something with a bit more depth later on in the series.
Yeah, no, I can agree with you, Dan, and I want to bring up this point in the aspect of, you know, every episode, we talked about it at the beginning of the series, of this episode, every episode this season so far, even the Rosa episode, has been written by Chris Chibnall, or at least co-written by Chris Chibnall. And now we're about to start a run of episodes between 6 and 9 that hasn't been written by Chris Chibnall. So I'm very curious to see if we're going to notice some changes take place and how Jodie is portraying herself as a doctor, how the episodes feel and how the stories feel, because I know a lot of people have been like, well, oh, it's that have had not that have had questions or anything. Is it Jodie? Is it Chris Chibnall? The ones who aren't feeling like they're connecting with this season. I think now we're going to start getting to that real test of, hey, what's going on with Doctor Who? Is it a Chibnall thing? And maybe it's something where Chibnall is great as a showrunner because he's brought some, as far as the production value of it, it's the best Doctor Who I've ever seen. Strictly on the production value of how it looks, how beautiful and clean it looks, the cinematography, everything like that. That's being nailed. And I do think Jodie has progressed as the Doctor. And again, I feel like one of the things they're trying to make an underlying thread of is the fact that Jodie keeps saying she is, and as her doctor keeps saying, I'm still haven't found myself yet. I still have, like, and you know, the way she panicked about being separated from the TARDIS, I've never seen a doctor quite act like that. And let's remember, the TARDIS kind of almost in a way rejected her at the end of the Capaldi run, when she was ejected from the TARDIS, compared to like when Matt Smith, when he was kind of blown out of the TARDIS because the TARDIS was basically exploded because of everything it was going through from regeneration energy, he was still holding on to the door and hanging on. In this case, Jodie was completely ejected from the TARDIS and the TARDIS disappeared. And she had to go hunt down the TARDIS. I just think there's something there. Now, whether or not we get anything to it this season or if it's something down the road, I think it's something to keep an eye on in this case. Absolutely. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of little plot threads that are going to come back later on. And the reason why I say that, both to you and Lily, is let's not forget, Chris Chibnall wrote Broadchurch and he wrote Torchwood. And what were the basis of those? Mysteries and little threads that you may not have noticed early on coming back later on in the series or in another, even in another season. And I think that he might be in a little bit of that writing mode where these are going to be a bunch of standalone episodes. And then later on, we're going to go, oh, wow. And we're going to we might look at this season of Doctor Who a lot differently then than we do now. And the best comparison I can give to that, and I think, Dan, you might be able to identify this with a little bit more than Lily, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I always felt that the first season of that show was a little rough to get through. It felt kind of dull. It felt kind of boring. But then when you go back and rewatch it after the whole series has come out, and you see the little drops of threads that they had put out through that entire first season about things that ran through the entire run of that show, you have a totally different appreciation for it. So this could be one of those things where it's like, when we get at the end of whatever this run will be with Jodie and Chris Chibnall, we might have a totally different look at this season compared to what we have at it right here, right now.
And I don't know. I don't know about you, but when I watch a TV show like that and they all connect it all together and we get to the end and there's some big reveal, the very first thing that I want to do is go back and watch it again from the start and try and put it all together again. Is that how you are, Lily? Do you like the stories that run together like that?
Yeah, I like it when they do like that. And I do like it when I get to rewatch it all again when it's finished.
Okay, be honest. You watch the most recent episodes of Doctor Who at least 3 times a week, don't you, Lily?
Sorry?
You rewatch the most recent episodes of Doctor Who at least 3 times a week, don't you? 2 to 3 times.
Yeah, I do watch it more than once.
That's what I kind of thought. Well, we're gonna step away for a moment to let you hear about all the other great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network, and we'll be back with everybody's final thoughts on this week's episode. So we'll be right back after this drop.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Welcome back to Type 40. A couple things real quick. When we were so enamored with our amazing guest today, when I did the introductions, I forgot to mention a couple of things. First of all, when you go on iTunes and you find the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, make sure you leave us reviews. We'd love to hear from our fans and let us know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And, you know, give us your opinions because we want to put out the best possible podcast for you. And also be sure to visit our TeePublic store at teepublic.com and search the Fandom Podcast Network, where you can find shirts, pillows, iPhone cases, stickers, laptop cases with logos of all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And like I said, Lily, we will be hooking you up with a Type 40 t-shirt for coming on today and being such an outstanding guest.
Thank you.
So with all of this, we're at the halfway point. We're excited about, you know, whatever our emotions have been through this first part of the season. I think we've got a very interesting run coming up on Doctor Who. So Lily, I want to start with you as our guest. What are you looking forward to upcoming on the rest of the season? What are you looking forward to, or what are you hoping that you see?
I hope to see more new monsters, and I just can't wait for it every Sunday. Like, something new's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's been exciting about the season of Doctor Who, is because of all the changes in creative, and with Jodie, there is that sense of new. What are we going to see that's new? Because everything is new. What do you think, Dan? What are you hoping to see? Like I talked about, we're getting ready for a run of episodes that weren't written by Chris Chibnall. Are you excited for this? Are you excited to see if it brings around some different directions that we haven't seen yet?
Very, very much so. This is where I think the proof of the pudding will be. And I'm sure he'll have his hands in there. There'll be, you know, because he is still the showrunner. But it's just like Lily said, it is as simple as that. Something new, something that takes you out of the everyday on a Sunday night. I keep going to say Saturday. On a Sunday night, just for that hour. Something extraordinary. And that, in its purest form, that is awesome. That's what Doctor Who does at its very, very best. That's certainly why I found it. I would imagine it's probably why your dad found it, Lily. Is it why you found it? It's better than everything else on television, really, isn't it, Doctor Who?
Yeah, it is one of the best shows that I've watched.
And we've been doing this show for a few months now and talking our way through these episodes, but quite a lot of the time we talk about what younger people would be picking up on and kids and things like that. And so it's great to have somebody of your age to come in, and we don't have to sort of try and guess what you think. You can tell us. So and you've done that really, really well. So thank you for coming on and talking to us.
No, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I speak for all of the American audience here on Type 40. Thank you so much. It's been absolutely amazing to have you on and talk to you. And thank you for sharing your amazing room of collections with us, because I've just been in awe the entire time we've been recording at it. It's absolutely amazing, Lily. And your knowledge of Doctor Who is just outstanding. So thank you so very much for coming on.
Remind people listening where they can find you again, Lily, and what you do on your channel, on your page.
Well, they can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if they just type in on Google, Lily Connors, Doctor Who. But on my social medias, I post when there's Comic-Con events, or if I've been to filming sites after it's been released, or people I've met, or sometimes I post up some of my hobbies, like my dancing.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, too, whenever you make it to the States, you'll have to let us know, because we'll make sure... Sure, especially if you make it to Florida and the States, that's where I am at for a convention, you'll have to let me know. We'll do an on-site Type 40 interview with you.
Okay.
So, Dan, I have got a biscuit stuck in my biscuit dispenser, and it's a real problem here. So, would you be kind enough to take us out of the show this week?
that about covers it, I suppose. I've been Dan. That's been Kyle. And thanks again to Lily. We hope you can come back on again one time, Lily, if you enjoyed it. We'd like to have you back.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. And for everybody out there, yes, you can find us in the usual places on social media, and join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another Type 40 at Doctor Who Fandom Podcast, where we have the time, if you have the space.
I got my biscuit. So with that, Geronimo!